Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we are here at International Quilt Market in Houston. And it's exciting because I get to meet the authors who have come in and be able to interview people in person. I always love that part of the process of doing the interviews at the trade show. So right now, I have Pippa Armbrester, whose new book is called Solid Stripes, Circles, and Squares with Martingale. And I love her book. She has a really nice, fresh taste on the use of solids. And I'm really excited to hear about her interest in solids and quilting in general. So, Pippa, I'm really happy you're here.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
So is this your first time at the trade show?
No, I went once a couple years ago.
Okay.
So I'm sort of, this is my first time at Houston, which is bigger and better. Yeah, it's amazing.
It is amazing, and all the quilts and everything.
Yeah, it's great. So much inspiration.
Yeah.
Sure.
How did you get into quilting?
So I actually started when I was an undergrad in college a few years ago, and my grandmother gave me a quilt just as a birthday gift.
Oh, really?
And then that summer, I was like, well, I'm going to give this a try. I'd always done knitting and sewing of various kinds, and I was just hooked. I loved it, and I was actually an art history major, so when I went back, I was like, you know, there's no official field that allows you to study quilts, but I ended up writing my thesis on that, and I found some cool professors who would let me kind of study it while I was an undergrad. Yeah.
Oh.
So, and then I bought a little sewing machine and kept it in my dorm room and just sort of became obsessed.
Obsessed. Yeah. Quickly obsessed.
Yes. Definitely.
So, did your grandmother quilt traditional quilting or?
Yeah. It's funny because I guess, you know, it's what you call traditional quilting, but mm-hmm. I'm always amazed by, like, they just sort of have an inherently modern aesthetic to them. Like, she's mm-hmm. a great sense of color, and so while the patterns are traditional, like, they're mm-hmm. really fresh and fun. I love
yeah.
the quilts.
Oh, yeah. That is pretty cool. Now, I'm interested in the solid aspect, mm-hmm. you know, what, because it's not as common for,
right.
you know, quilters are a bit more about pattern or tonals even, you know,
yeah.
so there's some texture, but what attracts you to solids, and did you start that way?
I didn't, actually. I did for a few years, like, I was kind of all over the map, and everything from, you know, really traditional to totally improvised, and, like, making mm-hmm. quilts out of clothing, and whatever
yeah.
I could get my hands on, and then I think after a few years, I was kind of trying to hone in on my own style, and when I started working, I remember the first quilt I made out of solids, and it was just so simple, and there was like stripes and maybe uh-huh. a couple squares in there, and I just loved that sort of simplifying my palette really focused on the pattern,
uh-huh.
and I really loved like the bold geometric,
mm-hmm.
you know, the title of my book kind of
yeah.
says it all, and with solids, you can really, that can be the focus of it,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I'm also just love color, obviously,
yeah.
and lots of bright, bold, saturated colors, so I like kind of having that be the focus of the
mm-hmm.
quilt, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not, like, completely opposed to, every now and then I'll mix in, like, a stripe or a polka dot pattern,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I try to keep it more about the geometry of the quilt,
right.
rather
right.
than the...
Did you study Amish quilting since you, you know, have a huge interest in history quilt history?
Yeah, Amish quilts are wonderful, and I definitely, if there's ever like a show, and we have some great museums in the Boston area, I'll go check them out. And one of the first exhibits when I started studying, mm-hmm. like through art history, studying quilts, and there in 1971 there was this exhibit called Abstract Design in American Quilts, and I'll never forget. It was at the Whitney Museum, so it was this really big deal.
Oh,
so it was
yeah.
the first time that they had quilts like in that kind of setting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the show catalog from that show, you can see that they're all, you know, traditional quilts and
mm-hmm.
antique quilts, but like with that really wonderful geometric. And
mm-hmm.
what they were saying is that, you know, it looked a lot like the modern design, modern
yeah.
art of that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and Amish, there were a ton of Amish quilts in that
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely is part of what.
That must have been amazing to see.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gosh. I know.
That's wonderful.
I love Amish quilts. I mean, when
yeah.
I first started quilting, they were an attraction, and
mm-hmm.
maybe it's that geometry. You know,
yeah.
I never really thought about why, but that makes sense.
Right.
You know, one of the things I noticed is I went out to your website and was checking out your blog and, you know, reading about, you know, your work and how you work. And let's give your blog while I'm thinking of it. PippaPatchwork1word.com.
Yep.
So that's where they can find you. But I noticed that you also like to crochet.
I do.
And that tends to be a solid base art form, too. Do you see, like, a relationship in sometimes your... I crochet also, so
yeah.
I'm sort of fascinated with someone who crochets. Do you see a similarity between what you do there and what you do with
yeah,
your fabric?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the style kind of... Even I think you could even see it in how I dress. Like, my style is very consistent.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I love crochet. I'm actually not... I don't think of myself as a particularly... You know, I'm not a great crocheter. I can't do a lot. But what I can do is kind of bound by those geometries that I love anyway. So, like, mm-hmm. granny squares are just, like, so naturally patchwork. I mean, that's
right.
what they are. You
right,
know?
Right.
And I can do that, stripes. And I always work with solid colored yarn. So, yeah, it's absolutely mm-hmm. a very close link into there. But, like... yeah, granny square afghan is like yeah. completely patchwork.
Yeah.
I love
right.
that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, me too.
Similarities, yeah.
So let's talk about solid fabric. You know, for people who might want to, you know, they get your book and then they're like, you know, I want to do this, but maybe they want a different color palette than you pick, you know, then you showcase.
Mm-hmm.
How do they sort of go about working with the solids when you don't have that variance of texture and in the
right.
actual prints? What would you suggest?
I mean, what I always start off thinking about is whether, and there are definitely more approaches than this, but I kind mm-hmm. of see it too, whether you want to focus on like a, you know, a certain range, like a palette range, whether you want to work with just oranges and blues or something like that, or if you want to kind of go a bit bolder and like work with a big range, lots of different colors, and then kind of go from there. And it helps to keep the basics of the color wheel in mind, so complementary colors, contrasting colors, and decide like where and how much you want to fit that in. But I also really don't think people should get bogged down in that, and you should, if you trust your own taste and your own
mm-hmm.
eyes, like, you will, you know, come up with something that you like, you know, not to get too much in your own head. And that's not to say I've put together quilts where I was like, oh, I don't know if I made the right color choice there, but I think often if you go with what you like, you'll
mm-hmm.
be happy. Yeah.
If they're in the store and they see, like, a whole huge color wall of, you know, let's say they want to do something with shades of yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you personally like to work with a variety of shades, or do you tend to work with just one yellow, one bolt of yellow?
Right. Well, so I guess that depends. Like, for a quilt where I'm trying to mix in a bunch of different colors, you know, it'll be, like, one yellow and one green or maybe one or two of each. But I also have fun kind of narrowing down the palette. So, like, you know, if I make a quilt that's, say, like, greens and purples or something, and a
mm-hmm.
range of different greens, range of different purples,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it helps to kind of have, and I'm very into the seasons, so, like, I'll kind of, in the back of my mind, have, like, it's just, like, an autumn tone quilt, and then you can
mm-hmm.
kind of have that in your head while
okay.
you're looking at each different color, so it's, like, do you want, like, bright cherry red or more of, like, a brick red, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that kind of gives
mm-hmm.
you a range within when you're picking out your colors, so it's not like
yeah.
bright red and then like more muted.
Right, because like a Christmas
like
red is so totally different than
right.
you know, a fall red.
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm fascinated personally because I don't really work in solids.
Right.
I don't do it much, and I always think that would be a fun challenge for myself
mm-hmm.
and for, you know, I'm sure other people feel the same way. You know, it's
right.
like, well, I've never done that, but I really like the end result.
Yeah.
So how do I go about getting my, you know, I don't even own solid fabric.
Right.
I mean, I
oh,
may
wow.
have a few pieces. That's it.
Yeah.
And so, because I tend to work, and a lot of people tend to work with the pattern. You know,
right.
you see a great piece of fabric, and like, okay, then you need to find a way to use it.
Yeah.
And here, you know, you would be buying. Do you actually buy solids just on a whim, or do you always sort of have a project?
You know, I do have kind of a palette I tend to work within, and certain solids that I kind of always... I sell a lot of quilts online, so
mm-hmm.
I have, like, a sort of a stock that I have.
Yeah.
But if people... And some of my favorite quilts that I've made are, like, people want something on commission, and they'll have a particular
right.
quilt in mind, and then I'll, you know... I'm not, like, bound to just working with
yeah.
these certain
yeah.
colors, but sometimes it's neat to see what other... Especially because I use such bright, bold colors, and sometimes, you know, I've had people be like, well, I want a little more neutral, a little more muted, and actually,
yeah.
it's neat. Like, I have to remember that that has its own strength, too,
yeah.
so it's fun to see what other people come up with, too.
And so, so if you were going to go shopping, would you be drawn to a certain shade of something? Would you say, oh, I don't have a shade of aqua like that, you know, mine are deeper, and I need something lighter, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. And it's actually, with solids, it's pretty easy to keep track of what you do and don't
yeah.
have. So, yeah, I try to keep a range on hand between, like, you know, some brighter, some more muted solids.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, so when above like the kind of basic inventory that I always keep. Yeah, it's great to come across. And even, you know, walking the floors, like, a salad sounds like it would be, you know, limiting, but you'd be amazed, like, once you're in that world, like, just a red that you haven't seen before, and it's like, oh wow, like, that's a whole new color, you know, it's actually,
red.
Yeah, exactly, so, come to appreciate the little detail.
How do you sort your fabric? Do you sort it by color?
Yeah, I keep it pretty well organized in my closet. I have, like, a sewing studio on the second floor, and I have a closet where it's, you know, all the reds and the pinks and oranges, yellows, so it's pretty easy to keep track of.
You can find it easily.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
And do you buy big yardage of solids?
I tend to buy. I use a lot of the Kona solids, and tend to buy. You know, I also love fat quarter packs. I don't know. You know, just it's so tempting. It's just like they look so delicious, and they're fun because usually thrown in there are some shades that I don't usually work with. So I'll definitely, if I see those, you know, they're on sale or something, I'll go for those for sure. But yeah, otherwise I keep, you know, a few yards on hand.
Right. Because you wouldn't be doing scrappy necessarily, so you would need the yardage to complete anything.
Right, exactly.
Did you have a chance to see the show here at all yet, the quilts hanging in Houston?
Yes, I have. Been walking around a little bit. Yeah, they're wonderful.
So what draws your eye when you are looking at the exhibit quilts?
So I love the art quilts. I think they're fascinating, but a big thing that I love about quilts is just the idea of them being functional, and I love to imagine kind of like culling up underneath them, and everything I make is, not everything, I definitely make wall quilts, but I kind of like to keep that element of them, and whether they're literally functional or they kind of have that feeling to them, so I'm definitely drawn to quilts where I can kind of imagine that, like imagine, you know, throwing them on a lap or something like that. But I love, you know, so some of the more modern patchwork is really, really fun to see.
Yeah.
And I also love traditional because you can find a lot of inspiration within there. And
this show always has a nice selection of antique quilts.
Right. Yeah, I love antique quilts. Yeah. I think they're fabulous.
Neat. Well, I am excited about your book. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, and good luck with it. And, you know, I think I might be challenging myself in the near future work with some solids. If I do, I will send you a picture.
Yes, I would love that. I'd love to see it.
Well, this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I was talking with Pippa Armbruster about her solid stripes, circles, and squares. And we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with the next guest here at the trade show.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
10 colored fabric pens. 1 trusted embroidery machine. 1 DesignWorks software suite. 5 perfectly cut flowers. 250 glittering crystals. 1 dress as colorful as my imagination. Introducing the new DesignWorks software suite from Bernina. Includes cutwork for all the shapes that your creativity can imagine. Paintwork for all the designs you can picture, and crystal work. Easily add sparkle to your creations. For more information, visit your Bernina dealer. Bernina, made to create.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Deb Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am here in Houston at the International Trade Show. It is called Quilt Market, and once again, I've found some great teachers, designers, instructors to chat with. And I have to tell you first that I have had a personal love affair with William Morris Designs. And when I knew there were other quilters out there who also had a passion for it, it was very exciting. Michelle Hill from Australia has written a couple of books, all full of designs inspired, applique designs inspired by William Morris. And she is here in Houston. Woo! I was so excited when I found that out. So Michelle, thank you for being able to take some time and chat with me.
Thank you for asking me.
I know this is this your first time in Houston?
It's the first time in the U.S.
Oh, first time in the U.S.
Never been to the U.S.
Yeah, wow.
Brand new. It's amazing.
Are you taking a few days while you're here? Extra?
We've just done a two-week tour over on the East Coast.
Okay.
While we were waiting for market, because we've been doing William Morris tours in England.
Okay.
So there was a gap. So I've always had a dream to come to Quilt the Festival.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I'll come to market.
Yeah.
And here
perfect.
I am. It's amazing.
Perfect. With your C&T book on William Morris Designs. Okay, so first, you have to tell me how you developed this passion for this type of design. Because it's not your traditional quilter's design.
I've always loved Baltimore quilts, and I cut needle turn for nuts and did raw edge. And I sort of designed some folk style back in the mid-1990s.
Okay.
I was a registered nurse. Mm-hmm. I gave up nursing because I was really disillusioned with the university training that was taking over hospital training. And a local quilt shop heard I'd given up nursing and asked me to work for her.
Oh, really?
And I'd been working about 10 months, and I won airfares to London in a raffle. Real people win raffles.
Wow.
And I had to actually give up my job in the quilt shop because my wage book always had IOU in it. Because when you wear it's like a kid in a lolly shop. You don't actually earn a wage.
You don't make any money, right?
So I went back nursing and worked my butt off and saved enough money to go to London for these airfares we'd won. And I knew I had to go to the Victoria and Albert Museum. Don't know why, but I just knew I had to.
Yeah.
And that was in 1997. Mm-hmm. And I saw William Morris's textiles and went, oh my God, I've got to turn these into quilts. And that's what I came home and did. And I sort of just continued, and it became an obsessive passion to learn all about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until 2002 I found out that the Art Gallery of South Australia, where I live, has the biggest collection of Morris furnishings in the world outside of London.
It like gives me goosebumps.
It's fate. It was all meant to be.
And is that near where you live?
Well, it's my hometown.
Oh, it is your hometown. Oh, okay.
I live in Adelaide, and that's the same size as Dallas.
Okay.
1.2 million. So it's quite a big city, but it's not the biggest city in Australia. And it's all just happened. And I was approached several times over a few years to write a book. In fact, it was the curator at the V&A at the time said, you need to do a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally surrendered a few years ago, and they've been very popular. I'm very humbled by it. It's lovely.
Well, how many quilts have you made with these designs? I mean, have you kept track of them?
I actually haven't.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's it.
And they are quite intense, and they I probably only would make if I was doing more. I'm finding the teaching's taking over my life at the moment, and I'm backing out of that, so I've got more time, because it was a hobby and it's pleasure. I just love doing them.
Right.
And people say to me, well, what do you do with your quilts? Well, they're all shoved in a cupboard. I just like making them.
Yeah.
So I probably only make two a year. because they are quite time consuming.
And what size are they? Well, do you like? What's your preference?
Generally big quilts.
Big. Big. That's the size. Big.
Yeah, I'm not very good at doing small.
So are they bed size?
Usually bed size.
Right.
But I've done a few wall hangings as well.
So tell me, because these are all pretty much all applique, do you piece your backgrounds at all?
No. I've not done that. It's usually like a whole cloth, and I just apply it all onto the whole cloth.
And it's very dense, because like the William Morris
designs were very dense, sort of intricate,
everything's filled in, not a lot of open space, and your quilts really simulate that.
I've had to simplify a lot of his work because it's just too dense.
Yeah.
The process I find really easy, and the class that I love teaching the most is designing. But people are frightened. Everyone can do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're inspired by and copying something that you're allowed to copy.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the public domain.
Yes.
I don't use a photocopier. I always hand draw.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a drawing lesson in my life.
Yeah.
But I've taught myself. I've made myself do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I just love it.
So you have a lot of vines and things. You have one of them here that we're looking at, and that particular one has a lot of vines. Is that pretty typical of what you like to do with the vines? Yeah.
I've just done a more recent one. There's a lot of his drawings that he never went on and did anything with, and they're quite intricate. And my last quilt is very intense and very intricate.
Mm-hmm.
It beat me because I planned to make it bigger, but yeah, it beat me.
It stopped, right?
It did.
That's funny. Mm. So tell me how you personally like to applique. What is your favorite method?
Probably machine, because it's fast.
Mm-hmm,
if I was to do it by hand, I'd be there forever.
Yeah.
But I do love handwork, and what I've been doing lately is all the applique by machine, a tiny little blanket stitch, and I love using fine, delicate embroidery threads. Silks and rayons are beautiful. And when I've actually finished the quilt, and sometimes it'll be even when I've bound it, I then start doing more stitching on top of it, embroidery, and I've just started experimenting with chain stitch. Everyone knows how to do chain stitch. And on this particular quilt, I thought it would be quicker to do all the leaves by chain, because then I wouldn't have to stop start, you know, an anchor stitch from each. So I did it with chain, but I've now moved on from that, and I'm actually doing two rows of chain, one row of chain just inside the applique, one row just outside, and I'm actually whipping the center two that touch
to each other,
because there's four strands along two chains, and I'm whipping the center two that touch each other, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah, it has a great texture now. It has much. It's like a build up line around
it. Yes, and it's kind of relaxing to sit in front of the telly and you can do it like you're quilting. You can anchor the stitch in the batting,
pull your
embroidery thread through.
And for those of you listening, these are very tiny little leaves she just showed us.
And I have no idea. I'm not a quilter that counts how many leaves she's put on.
No,
I just do it. Get on with it.
Yeah, just do it. Just make it. Now, you are using much thinner thread than I usually use to blanket stitch, because I'm usually like a 50 weight cotton. Sometimes heavier if I want more personality to the thread. So how did you start using rayons and silks?
I was the same as you.
Yeah.
And all your mistakes will show. If you use a really fine embroidery thread, it's far more forgiving. It's finer. I love the bottom line in the bobbin, because that's a really lovely thread. And it goes on and on. You have to keep refilling the bobbin. So I usually use a grey and a beige like we do for our piecing. I use that in the bobbin. And then for the top, my embroidery thread, I can use whatever colour with that grey and the beige. And it's just a much more delicate stitch. And you can get quite... See, I turn it down to about... On a banana, it'd be between 1.6 and 1.8 for the width and length.
Yeah.
On a faff, it's about 1.5 by 1.5, so it is quite little. You don't want to go too small, because you'll miss your applique and there's no point.
Right, right.
And you've got to be careful you're not shredding the edge and you're in the right position.
And you're not using batiks either, or you mix them?
I just recently, I do mix them. I have done a quilt with batiks, and they're just beautiful to work with, because you can use the front, the back, the...
And you don't have the shredding as much.
Exactly.
Yeah, the tight, the tight edge. It made me think of it with your shorter stitch.
Yeah. Oh, they're beautiful to use batiks. Yeah.
So when you run silk, I'm so fascinated. I'm very fascinated by the silk part. Yeah. When you run the silk through the machine, do you have to change your tensions or a different needle?
No. I use a Microtex Sharp. Always a Microtex Sharp, and I use a 70, which is a / 10. Mm-hmm. Some people like to use a 60, but I find that shreds my thread. So I like a little bit bigger, but not too big. I'm in an 80, sometimes leaves a hole around your applique. Silk is a lot more expensive, and you don't get as much on the reel, so I probably don't use that as much as I use the embroidery threads.
Mm. Now, with the little stitch... Mm-hmm. And you're not making baby quilts here with your designs. I mean, you probably could. They'd be very lovely. They'd be heirloom. Do not touch them. But do you have recommendations for washing quilts like this?
I have done a couple of, in the second book, we did two nursery quilts using William Morris fabrics. And you can chuck them in the washing machine. I've never had a problem.
Okay.
I know some people say that embroidery threads, particularly rayon, isn't as strong and the dyes can run, but I've never had an issue. I've been lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've had with some of my applique that were for baby quilt where the smaller stitch, it frayed out from underneath the stitching.
You might have been going too small, mate.
Yeah.
I never turn it more than 1.5 millimeter wide. I never go less than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, you will. You'll just tear the edge.
Yeah. And do you use a fusible or some other method?
Yeah.
So you do a fusible.
Yep. Good old fusible.
Yeah. Perfect.
Easy.
Yeah. So what are you currently working on? I mean, do you have a project in the works?
I haven't started it.
Oh. Are you in the fabric collecting stage?
I am, and I'm thread collecting.
Okay.
I've been studying. William Morris's daughter, May, was also an incredible designer in her own right. And she continued her father's business after she died. And she was actually responsible for the embroidery section of the business, of the Morris & Co. company. And she didn't die till the 1930s, and then the company folded. But she was head of the embroidery department at the age of 23.
Wow.
And we know all this from the correspondence in Adelaide. There was a family in Adelaide, the Bar Smith family, who were responsible for our huge collection in Adelaide. He was reputed to be the richest Australasian of the time.
Wow.
And he furnished all his homes exclusively with Morris everything, and that's why our art gallery has such a big collection. Anyway, May was responsible for the embroidery kit that you would purchase, and she would actually start the stitching and have the pattern all out on the, it was usually silk on silk or silk on linen, and she would do a little bit of stitching in each flower so that the embroiderer who had purchased the kit knew exactly what stitch to do. Well, I've been exploring her stitching, and we've just been doing William Morris tours in England, and I've got to see her embroidery up firsthand, and it's very simple.
Yeah.
It's a lot of laid thread that's been couched.
Yeah.
So I have a plan to reproduce a couple of embroidered... Well, there's three embroidered screens. They're quite large in Adelaide as quilts, but a lot of surface work with silk thread.
Right.
So it'll be a bit different.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, Michelle, this has just been... amazing to be
able to chat
with you
and see your work and everything.
On the internet, people can find you by either going to your website, michellehill.com.au, or Google William Morris Quilts.
it seems to come up.
Yeah, and you are apparently the one and only. So, well, I appreciate it. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy The Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolate with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7Series. Bernina, made to create.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and I am here in Houston at the trade show. Still here talking to designers, and I have wandered around and ended up in the Sweetwater Design booth. And I personally love their work. This is a design team of three people. We have Carla Eisenach and daughters Lisa Burnett and Susan Kendrick. And Lisa is here with me. She's holding down the fort here towards the end of the first day of the trade show. I think they all skipped out on me, but we're just going to pretend, you know, they just left Lisa with me. So thanks for being on the show, Lisa.
No problem. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So when you come to market, you usually do like sort of a theme for your booth, all based around the current fabric that you're working with.
Exactly. Our fabric line this time is called Noteworthy. And our booth, of course, is built around that. A little bit about our fabric. We always come up with a theme before we design, and we use text a lot. So when we come up with a theme, all the text that goes into that line revolves around that theme.
Yes.
So this year it's noteworthy, and the text is... one day I was on Pinterest, which I'm on Pinterest a lot.
Don't you love it?
I love it, but it wastes all my time. But on Pinterest, I noticed they had a whole bunch of things that are like bucket list ideas.
Oh, okay.
And so I thought one day that would be a cool fabric idea to put all of my bucket list items onto the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And in this print, there's a lot of my own bucket list items,
yeah.
But I tried to make it so it's more a universal thing that somebody can, so everybody can relate to
right.
at least one of the things that
right.
That's in the print.
Like I'm reading here, watch my favorite team at the Super Bowl.
You know?
I mean,
now that's mine.
Yeah, oh, is it really?
It's definitely mine.
Write a letter to your child. Visit all 50 states. So how did you come up with so many? Did you do a poll? Was it all your family?
Actually, we had a brainstorming session.
Okay.
And just went from there.
Yeah. And I like that the particular piece that has all the words on it, the list, it's called Noteworthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has like drawings and different fonts, and there's flowers and little envelopes and little houses and kite shapes, hearts.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to look like you were actually... doodling on a piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
like what you did in college or high school when you were really bored, and did your doodles or wrote things about what you dreamt about,
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
doing.
A little bit of a journaling kind
exactly.
of thing.
Yeah.
And what's the colorway for this one? The color palette?
It's more of a pastel palette. It's a soft blue, pink, yellow, and orange,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of green too. And gray. We always pick gray.
So you always have a signature gray print? Or
we definitely use gray a lot.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of goes with everything that we do. And it's kind of just a basic thing that we do is gray.
So how do you pick then companions to go, you know, with this? You and Susan do the fabric.
Yeah. We do everything on the computer. And how we do that is we each do... four or five different prints, mm-hmm. and we sit across from each other. We don't look at each other's computer screen, and hopefully we come up with something different than the other person. We always do, but that's kind of how we do it. It only takes us a couple weeks mm-hmm. to get the line done.
So you get real focused, and that you're...
Yes, and when we have to get it done, we have to get it done.
Yes.
So that's what we do.
And your lines... don't necessarily have like a big floral or any sort of signature in it. Do you have a different feel to your fabric lines?
Yeah, we try to make it different than everybody else's, and hopefully we do. Mm-hmm. We also, every time we come up with a different color scheme for each line that we do. Last time we had red, black, and gray, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be fresh and new every time we come out with a new line.
And I like the little designs. Like I see one with, looks like almost like kites or something, like little strings with little kites on
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's nice because it gives a linear, but then there's little like tassel-y things
right.
on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you guys are there working and doing your designing, do you actually physically draw out on paper first? Or?
Oh, we never. My sister and I can't draw a lick, but we can do it on the. We can draw on the computer. We can't use a pencil, but we can do it on the computer just fine. But no, we don't draw anything out.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, because a lot of people will tell me they'll do little bitty doodles, and then they'll blow those up.
Yeah, I wish we could. I wish yeah. we could draw.
Yeah.
We just can't.
See, they're teasing because I can see all the drawing and the fabric. So tell me about the projects that you did for this line.
We have four new patterns. Would you like the names of the
patterns? Sure, yeah.
We used, actually, from our Noteworthy print that has all the bucket list items, we chose phrases from those to name our patterns.
Oh, that's cool.
So one of them is called Be Happy. I think one is Fly a Kite.
Yeah.
Plant a garden.
Yeah.
And we usually, we like two color quilts,
yeah.
But we try to use most of our fabrics in the quilts
mm-hmm.
because we think more people like more color. But we mm-hmm. always use a cream background, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our style.
Yeah, and the cream really sets off, like one is the garden one is the with the rings.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's really nice because there's the pops of color all along with these rings and then the white background.
Right, right.
So my understanding is that you two are not the quilters then.
No, we don't draw a lick and we don't sew a lick either. So my mom does all the sewing, the yeah. quilting, and she also designs the patterns.
Yeah, so she works on coming up with the layouts and
right.
how to feature the fabric.
Right.
And, yeah.
Exactly. We help her digitally design
yeah.
the patterns, but
uh-huh.
it's basically her idea, and she's the one that sews them, so we don't have a whole lot of say in that. So
she has to make it work, know
right.
that it's going to work.
Right.
And what is your studio like? Because you don't work in your homes. You actually have a
no.
place that you go to work.
We have a building beside my parents' house. And actually we have two large rooms. One room is kind of our design studio where Susan and I work at our computers.
Mm-hmm.
And the other room is more the sewing room where my mom works and sews and quilts.
And do you have it lined with fabric? Is there
well,
lots of...
there's lots of fabric. And it seems like we have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So the bigger... We used to all be in one room,
mm-hmm.
and then we built the other room and thought, oh, we're going to have so much room.
Yeah.
But the more room we have, the more stuff we have. So that's the way it goes, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way it goes. And do all of you live close enough to come in every day?
Actually, my sister lives about 15 miles away, but I live 80 miles.
Oh, wow.
And so I only come in a couple times a week, and
yeah.
the rest I can do at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but when we're designing fabric, my sister and I actually like to be together so we can collaborate a little bit more.
Yeah, a little
so.
More instantaneous,
exactly.
back and forth. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's really nice. Now, you also have a fabulous little club that I personally have joined. So that I am collecting
yeah.
the patterns and the tags.
We have a lot of collectors.
Yes, I have a nice collector of your club kit. They're not even like a kit, really. You do sell kits to go
we
with
do
them,
sell
but
kits.
Describe what your club is.
Our club, we design labels, which they're just graphics on an iron-on piece of fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say we can add a label to anything and make it cute.
Yeah.
So we design once a month a little sewing project that you can add this label to. And also in the club, you get a personalized label that has mm-hmm. your name on it that
mm-hmm.
you can add to that project or you can add it to a quilt
yeah.
or any other project.
Yeah, I love that part.
So we do that once a month.
Yeah.
And
it comes in a pretty little brown envelope.
And
I have a stack of those.
I know a lot of people that have stacks of them and don't quite get around to doing them, but...
Well, you had cute pillowcases with, what did they have, good morning or good night?
Good morning, good night. We do table runners.
So they're smaller.
They're small projects that you can get done in a day, usually.
Right. And they can get that from your website, and your website is... SweetwaterScrapbook.com.
Exactly.
Yeah, so because you had a prior business.
Yeah, we were in scrapbooking before we were in quilting.
Yeah, so they can go there, and then you can also go to your blog. And sitting in your booth here, I am noticing that you have a flyer for a new book that's coming out called So Red, and you told me you have some projects in there.
Yeah, we have a quilt in the new book, So Red, and the book is going to be fabulous. There's us and about 25 different designers that collaborated on the book. The book is to raise money for
the Heart Foundation.
The Heart Foundation.
Yeah.
And
so the red dress that everybody sees
exactly.
is the kickoff of the book.
Last year they had a book called Knit Red, and it was one of the most beautiful books I've ever seen. So when they asked us to do the So Red, we were so happy to do
yes.
it. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds really nice. Do you also knit then? Have you had the knit book?
Oh, no, I don't knit. My sister does knit, though.
That's how you got the knit book. So.
I just saw the knit book.
Oh,
so
you
it's
just
beautiful.
Saw it.
Yeah.
What do you do on your blog then, usually, if people come visit you?
Our blog, we do mostly... we sell a lot of kits on our blog. We come up with not only the label crew projects, in November we're going to do a 12 Days of Christmas program where each day for 12 days we'll have a different project, which you can purchase the kit, purchase the pattern on our website. And we also have contests. We give away things a lot. We do a little bit of our family things just so you can get to know us a little bit more.
Yeah, it's fun. I think the favorite one I saw recently was somebody's son taking an animal to the farm show, his first farm show animal.
Oh, yeah, that was my little boy.
That was your little boy? Oh.
Yeah. So we do a little bit of that.
Yeah, well, that was precious. It was so fun to just hear about, you know, your family and see him and... His aunt helping out to get him.
Yeah, my sister helped him out, so.
Get him through that first farm show.
Yeah.
Is he still not like animals?
No, he doesn't like animals. Not even a little bit, which breaks my heart. But.
He's got a long ways to go, right? He's four. He's a long ways to go. So, Lisa, this has been really wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's exciting to be able to sit in your booth and chat about your things with having it all around us. It's inspiration.
Yeah.
And so everybody should go check out their website, SweetwaterScrapbook.com, or their blog, sweetwater.typepad.com. And I'm Pat Sloan. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, live from the trade show in Houston.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit bernina.com/7 series. Bernina, made to create.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts & More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am here in Houston at the International Trade Show talking with designers and all kinds of exciting people. And this is the best place, as I've said, to talk with teams that work together, because teams, it's nice to have the two people that we can sit down and chat. And we're in the American Patchwork and Quilting booth for this interview, so we have a nice little office in here. And I am with the Homestead Hearth owners and designers, Sarah Maxwell and Dolores Smith. And they are a team, a dynamic team that makes really warm and cozy quilt designs. And they have a to-die-for quilt shop. Their quilt shop was in the 2007 Quilt Sampler issue. So if you have that one, go look through it real quick. And I'm so glad you could take time to come and chat with me. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. We're really thrilled to be able to talk to you a little bit about what we're up to right now.
Oh, my gosh. So tell people where your shop is, Sarah.
We're located in Mexico, Missouri, which is north central Missouri, about 2 hours from St. Louis, so very easy to get to.
Yeah, and it's just off the highway, right, Dolores?
Right.
Yes.
Right off I-70.
Yeah, just very easy, on, off. And so when did you start your business?
Yeah. In September of 2002.
Oh my gosh, she even remembers the month.
Yeah, that's
good for you. Yeah. Extra bonus points. Wow. Yeah. So were you in the same location as when you first started?
Yes. I've always been there.
Always been there. So who wants to describe this incredible building that you're in?
Well, wow. We hounded our husbands about finding us a location, and they didn't initially have the vision we had. So they were looking at a lot of very small rental properties, and we always knew we wanted to have a store that was a destination that people could come and spend a day in. So we went to look at this old, decrepit, just horrible-looking building, but we saw the potential, and our husbands were dragged along, and so we bought a building that used to be a chicken hatchery.
Oh, my gosh. That was its original purpose?
It was.
Yeah.
1910.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when I came to visit, it was, you know, obviously you've been in business for a while, and am I recalling properly, there's some airplane parts?
Uh-huh. There's a tail on one side. And over by the one of the cutting tables, the cash register area, is an airplane wing.
And did that used to be hanging over, like, one of the its lives in between the chicken hatchery and the quilt shop?
It was the businesses.
Bar. It was the bar.
It was the bar.
It's now the cash register area.
Yes.
Same thing.
Right.
Yeah, you can check out.
Yeah.
So, Dolores, tell me a little bit about the style of fabrics that you carry in your store. What's the sort of, you know, what are going to people find there?
Well, we try to have a little bit of everything for everybody. Mm-hmm. We do carry a variety reproduction fabrics, are mine, Sarah's favorites. Mm-hmm. We do have the batiks, the brights, the homespuns, blenders, taupes. Mm-hmm. Taupes in 1800s reproductions are probably my favorites.
They're
our favorites. We do a lot with that, but we do have hand-dyed wools.
Yeah.
And we just have a variety of everything. We try to carry a little bit of everything for everybody, so they're not, one person's not bored and the other person's happy.
Yeah.
You know, they hit the jackpot. So we do try to carry a little bit of everything.
And the brights are whose favorite?
I probably gravitate towards some of that. I do like some of the really new contemporary designers that are out. So probably 3 years ago or so, we made a decision to really start expanding that as well. We had filled the niche very well of plaids in the 1800s, and we thought, you know, we want to branch out and attract other customers. So when you visited us, our store was fairly small, even though the building was big, and we now cover the entire first floor and probably two-thirds of the second floor of the building. So
Wow.
We have more than 7,000 square feet of retail space
in use right now. So thousands of bolts.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, that has expanded. Yeah. It was, now, do you still have, you, didn't you have like an ice cream parlor in the back or a coffee shop or what was
we
that?
We did. No, we've taken that over. Oh. Yeah. The fabric in the quilt business really needed the space. And so we've taken that back over and it's all quilting.
It's all quilting. Now, you specialize, I mean, I consider specializing in kits, you know, and that's sort of how we met when you were kitting up some of my designs at one point and we sort of got to know each other. So what do you find is wonderful about the kits?
Well, we find that a lot of people want help with the project. They either really like a picture they've seen and they want to recreate that exact look, or sometimes because our store is so big, it can be a little overwhelming for someone to walk in and see thousands of bolts and they don't know where to start. So a kit's a good solution for someone that can just pick up that package and say, okay, this will be a successful project for me.
Yeah. So Dolores, do you have like lots of models then in the store for your samples?
Yeah, we do try to make up several of the projects that are in the magazines, have them where people can come in and see them, and and they're like, yes, that is the model, that's the exact one in the magazine. And they get really thrilled that they can go up there and actually touch it, or that's the one, and it's like, yes, that was the one photographed on this page. So they get really excited about that. And yes, we do, we have several block of months and we try to work on those too, so people have questions about them. And so yeah, it's covered in models.
and models. And your website, for people who haven't been there yet, is homesteadhearth1word.com. And you have a newsletter and all that, so people can check out everything that's going on there. You are regular contributors to American Patchwork and Quilting magazine, which is just wonderful. You do a lot of really incredible pieced quilts for us. You know, how did you get started with that, deciding that you wanted to design quilts besides owning a quilt shop, you know, which isn't, I'm sure you know, you have nothing more, no more extra time on your hands.
Well, we both love fabric, obviously. And just playing with fabric is one of the things I like best. I enjoy helping customers put it together. You know, a lot of times by the time I've sat there and played with the design and I kind of know what it's going to look like, I don't even want to sew it anymore because it's time to move on. So it was, we met Elizabeth, who is the editor of APQ, and just connected with her and had a design that she liked, and it kind of blossomed from there.
Because you make quilts several times a year that are
yes,
published.
We're very fortunate.
Yeah. And who is designing and making? Do you, like Dolores, do you work on your own each designs, or do you collaborate on some, any?
Work together.
You pretty much work
together. Everything. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just, you know, it's kind of like, she can finish a sentence that I'm starting to think, and before I can get it out, she's got it done. Or, you know, so we work real well on there, and we'll do, you know, she'll do a lot of the cutting, and I do a lot of the sewing on it, or vice versa. So we work real well on getting them done.
When you start a design, what is your sort of thought process? Are you working from fabric first, or do you have like a collection of sketches maybe that you're sort of pulling from and saying, okay, now a new fabric collection came out, so we have this sketch that we liked and we want to use it?
No, usually we work from the fabric. The industry now is such that you're usually working with paper as opposed to the actual fabric, so we get the paper images and start talking, you know, this would really be nice in a star design, or, you know, this stripe's great and we want to showcase it, so let's do a strippy quilt. And so we kind of let the fabric drive the design.
And when you are you pulling, like, do you like antique quilts? Are you sort of looking at antiques, or do you mess around with a like EQ? Or
we do use electric quilt. That's my favorite, and we're always looking at antiques. We like a lot of the Australian designers. We love to go back and see some of the things they're now pulling out, and so that's good inspiration. But museums are a great resource. Just a little bit of everything, really.
So when you're here, like at the show, Dolores, do you want to, like, are you like me? You want to just go sew because you see all this?
I know.
I do bring handwork. Sometimes.
I know. It's like when you're here, you're like, I want to touch fabric. You know, not just in the book. I want to play with it. Yeah. So what would be your favorite type of quilt to make? I mean, style-wise, pieced, appliqué, mix?
I probably still gravitate toward piece quilts. The more fabric, the better. You know, I love to use as many different prints as possible.
More scrappy than you would like to term it more scrappy. Do you like to do more intricate designs, or?
I think that is where I gravitate. I know sometimes I design them, and then when we get to talking about how we're going to sew them, it's like, were you thinking about, you know, what you were asking us to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like half-square triangles a lot.
Yeah. So when that happens, it's like, oh my God. Do not count. Don't count.
Don't count how many half square triangles are in there. I like them too. But do you like tiny shapes? Do you prefer to cut things up pretty small for your blocks, you know, or do you like big chunky pieces of fabric?
You know, for me, I like a more intricate piece design. I think there's a lot of patterns out there right now that are, you know, chop up the fabric in four pieces and it's simple, and there's nothing wrong with that, but right. I really like the challenge of something that's intricate and creates a secondary pattern or, mm-hmm. you know, is something you really have to study for a while to get the full impact of.
And now you also are self-publishing some patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So you have a line. What is the line, your fabric line, I mean your pattern line called?
We market under the Homestead Hearth name. Okay. We've done a series of Block of the Months with Marcus Fabrics.
Oh, okay.
And we sell those patterns. And we're also this year tackling individual patterns for different fabrics. And we are now looking into the downloadable patterns because we see that as kind of a developing idea that's on the horizon there. So in addition to paper, we're going to have downloadable by the start of the year.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And they'll be able to do that off your website.
Correct.
Right.
Yes. Yay. Exciting. Exciting. Yeah, your work is really exciting. You know.
Oh, thank you.
And your store is so amazingly you know, creative. You know, you go in there, I think it's the inspiration. And now that it's double the size since I last visited, I think I need a new trip there.
Yes. We really set out to have a store that wasn't something you've seen anywhere else, and we didn't want any, you know, plain white shelves or just plain things, so we seek out unusual displays, and, you know, there's nothing where it's just a long line of shelves. It's little niche displays and creative things.
Husbands like to come, and, you know, sometimes the wives are dragging the husbands out. You know, they're waiting on them to finish looking, so it makes it really nice for them to shop. And
well, that's exciting. Yeah, it's exciting to know that everybody's happy when they come in.
Yes.
Well, this has been just wonderful. I've been really excited to hear what you're up to and share your store. And if people have the 2007 quilt sampler issue, be sure to go in there and check out Sarah and Dolores's Homestead Hearth display or shop, or, you know, they're all the little goodies. And
We ship all over the world, and most of what's in the store is online, so you can come and get a little sneak peek.
Yay! So thank you, everybody. This is Pat Sloan for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're done with this show, and come back next week for a brand new show.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.